This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on this super Saturday, June 10th. We're live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill, across from Tropicana Field. We're at 410 today. The Texas Rangers, who are leading the West, they got a little humbled last night by our Tampa Bay Rays, Ben Botham, and we're humbling a lot of people. And this story, I was talking to Mark Ferguson today down here, this story just continues to get better. And you just keep shaking your head. I mean, we just got done with the sweep, and, you know, the Rangers coming in town, they're building it up as this is going to be a, you know, tight series, two division leaders, and they just pounded them 8-2 last night.
Yeah, I think it ended up 8-3 last night.
8-3
with that last home run they hit. But, you know, that continues our seven-game win streak. Let's try and make it 8. And, you know, a lot of people, still there's a lot of doubters out there on the Rays. For some reason, they keep thinking that it's a fluke that we haven't played real team. I don't know who else we need to play. There's not a lot of teams left in the league. All the power teams
in the MLB.
Exactly.
We played them all. And we haven't been swept by them. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Dodgers, we proved against the Dodgers, obviously. You name the team that they thought would give us a lot of trouble, and we have played very competitively. And I think balance and pitching, obviously, you got one starter at 9-1, one at 8-1. I mean, that's just unheard of.
Yeah, and now we got Tyler Glasnow back. He gave us 7 strong innings, and, he hasn't he was limited in the majors, you know, this year starting – where was it? Oh, he was making his third start of the season, opening stint on the injured list. You know, Glasnow walked 3 batters and struck out 6 in his first win and his longest outing since June 8th, 2021. So it was great to see him back in, you know, true winning fashion.
Well, Tyler was, you know, initially the ace of the bullpen that everybody was looking up to. And I don't think that we ever thought that Sugar Shane McClanahan from USF would be taking the role he is now. Of course, an all-star. He's definitely in the front running right now for the Cy Young, as he was last year until he got injured. And for the second consecutive year, I'm certain he will be the starter for the all-star game.
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, you know, the all-star game is always a little funny with voting and everything. It's more of a popularity contest than a skills contest. So I do hope that he will be starting that. And it's just great to see our Rays really figuring it out. I think the real question is
they figured it out.
You know, our closing pitcher.
I was going to say, we need a closer. We need a Mariano Rivera. Hey, by the way, today they're anticipating 20 to 25,000 here at 410 first pitch. So come on down to Ferg's. I know there's still tickets available. I've been talking to people all morning, trying to scramble at the last minute to get over to the Trop.
Yeah, and the Rays were just doing a great promotion. They were doing half off all weekday tickets for the season. So you could buy tickets from Yankees games to Rangers games, whoever you wanted. So, I mean, they're really trying to get people into the stadium. Last night was a little over 17,000 fans, so it's great to see people are turning out for the games.
This is our Ferg's from the front row, of course, brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka. Locally distilled for a Bloody Mary, screwdriver, or a Champa Bay down here at Ferg's. Come on and just add Ice Pick to your request, and they'll certainly pour it for you. And, of course, they also have Shipyard Brewing, Uncle Eli's soda pop, and or maybe how about this combo? I think I told you that. We got body armor and ice pick.
Hey, it's worth a chance.
Yeah, yep. I probably shouldn't be talking like that. In fact, our good friends at Body Armor Coca-Cola Beverages have just stepped up to the plate to support us. And this Friday, we will be over at One Buck Place doing live on FloridaSportsStream.com. We'll be doing the 7-on-7 with FCA Sports. I'm looking forward to having you and Brad and the gang and the youngsters. We'll set up over there. Some of the teams that we've already had conversations with their coaches. They've been on in the last 2.5 years. Going to be a great day Friday over at One Buck Place with FCA and, of course, Body Armor. I've already done the math. They're going to deliver Body Armor for us. 1,100 kids, 75 cases.
Wow.
Yeah, so excited about that and that relationship. And, of course, with the Rowdies, we'll be talking to the Rowdies next in our new segment where we'll be giving away high school tickets. Jim Hart, of course, he is the king of soccer in the Tri-County area, Jim Hart, the Champions Tour. And we're going to talk to Forrest Lasso. He's a defender for the Rowdies in our new segment brought to you by Body Armor and Coca-Cola Beverages. And, again, I know you're going to struggle with the soccer conversation. However, that's why we're bringing Jim Hart to the, and then the next guest will be Oresti Estrada, and you'll be right back in your comfortable wheelhouse, my man.
Hey, I like the sound of that, Mike, but I actually brought a little soccer piece for you. I saw
that
Messi is actually in Miami, and tickets before his arrival for the Miami team down there were $29 a ticket. Now, after they announced that he's going to be there, the cheapest ticket is now $477. So he's really bringing in some people.
I know you don't watch basketball either, but Miami Heat and the Denver Nuggets last night. And of course, I lived in Denver, went to many games. I'm not on the Nuggets bandwagon like the rest of America is. But if you look at the people, it's like L.A. on the East Coast, the people that are courtside. So, you know, the common man is just pushed out of anything in Miami that's successful. And same thing's going to happen to Denver. I text my son, who's been going to a lot of games, and I said, should have bought season tickets because now you're not going to get a ducat to go see the Nuggets in 23-24 season.
Yeah, I did see Conor McGregor was actually at the Heat game. They invited him onto the court. Conor McGregor. To face off against their mascot. They put the mascot in gloves, and they had a little boxing match. They danced around a little bit, and then McGregor landed a hook on him, knocked him right to the floor, and then punched on him a few more times, and they had to drag the mascot off.
McGregor has become nothing more than a showman these days. I mean, that's what it's all about. But he's not the best in MMA. He's made a lot of money. Bravo. He has profited from that, his endorsements, and he's making a lot of jack and good for him. But that's another example.
He gets guys like me to watch. I would never really watch MMA unless
that's the thing. He's entertaining. Yeah. You never know what in the hell he's going to do.
Yeah. Whether he wins or loses, I really don't care. He's still talking. And
we got to do a shout out right now. We got a couple guests in the house.
Oh, yeah, that is true. Yeah, we have
step up to the plate, man.
Yeah, we have some of my family members here. They came into town for, once again, I got to shout out my wonderful Nana Lola. It is her 97th birthday tomorrow. So happy birthday
to her. Happy birthday, Lola.
Yeah, but of course, we have my Uncle Joey and Sandy here, his wife.
Met him last year. Yeah. Superb people.
So everyone's in town. We're going to have a really great celebration of Nana's birthday.
97.
97 years young. Great time.
You got good genetics, champ.
Hey, knock on wood, hopefully.
Don't screw them up.
I'm catching up to her every day. So
yeah, you certainly are. Okay, so as we talk about the world of baseball, anything before we talk to Oresti Estrada that you saw this week that was unique, any the injury reports on our end?
Well, I did see that the Rays are doing an ultimate game day giveaway, Mike. The ultimate Rays family experience for a one-of-a-kind day at Tropicana Field. It includes four tickets and Dex Imaging Home Plate Club for the Rays home game on July 23rd, four customized Rays jerseys, ceremonial first pitch experience, four pregame batting practice passes, in-game radio booth visit, and player coach meet and greet. So you can enter right now to win this experience.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, the Rays are doing great stuff reaching out.
I would say, and I've been fortunate, and I know Big Ed up in the on the controls today, they have a relationship with him. Chris Miller, who spells it like Mueller, is a great guy. He's helped me out considerably. I think it's because he's a Green Bay Packer fan, and he's from Wisconsin, so we have some commonality. But I was talking to him the other day, and I said, it's amazing how this success and the 25th anniversary has also motivated your marketing department because they're doing some very cool things. And off in here and doing my shows out at Ferg's is welcoming everything they do because our business is booming. Come on down here because it's our 30th anniversary, and the two have basically grown up together, Ferg's and the Rays over across at the Trop.
Yeah, the old gray lady, Mike. She's still standing.
You called her the old gray lady last week. Then what'd you call her?
Oh, America's Ballpark.
You've lost your mind.
It's the truest statement, Mike. We're the best team in baseball. We got the best stadium in baseball. 72 degrees year-round. Can't be beat.
That's a 24-year-old who's been on the planet as long as the team has been here.
Hey, I'm very
passionate. I love that. I love it. I love the passion that you have. Just like, you know, I'm a nut job when it comes to the Cubbies, and I'm going nuts watching them these days. case. Well, we're going to talk here. Here's the lineup. We're going to talk, as I said, we're going to talk to Jim Hart and Forrest Lasso. Then we'll talk to Oresti Estrada. We'll get some expertise from Oresti. Then Pete Young. He's the athletic director at Jesuit High. Topic that I thought would be kind of cool is how many professional athletes and then how many college scholarships have come out of that that factory over there.
Well, I know over at Seminole High School, Mike, we actually have a we have a full sign put up of all the players that have been drafted who have come out of Seminole High School, and it's well over 40 names now.
That's very impressive too. That is a program deep in tradition, and those are the ones that are successful. And bravo of you being an assistant coach here, going back to your alma mater. We will talk to John Ruggles, as I mentioned, FCA Sports 7-on-7 this Friday over at and it's open to the public, folks. You can go over to One Buck Place. I think it's like $5 that the FCA takes, but going to be kind of cool. 32 teams from the Tri-County area, and then we will talk. It's actually the Belmont Stakes, the 155th Belmont Stakes. It takes place today. Jake and John in the house. And, of course, what we will do is we're going to talk to Bob Bauer. He's a handicapper for Tampa Downs. Very interesting man. So we'll make our picks as well before we talk to him.
Yeah, and then give me a horse list here, Mike. I got to pick what horse.
I got it for you. I got it for you. And then we'll talk to Brad Richardson as we wind things down. Right now, we will we'll be talking to Jim Hart and Forrest Lasso. Big Ed's going to provide that for us. Any other tidbits as you prepare for the opening of the show?
Well, Mike, I know you always like your swag. You like your giveaways, your goodies. I see MLB and Gucci have teamed up for a collaboration for some clothing designs. They've created everything from shoes, jackets, shirts, and pants, all featuring MLB team logos all over the place. So, Mike, if you want to get yourself a pair of pants with all the MLB teams on it, that's going to set you back $13,500, Mike. And if you're looking for some Yankee loafers, it's going to set you back $1,250. So they got some pricey swag.
Sign me up for the loafers as soon as I cash in my lottery ticket tomorrow morning.
There you go. And also, Rawlings has teamed up with Gucci as well to give Francisco Lindor a one-of-one glove. All done up with the Gucci logo on the side.
He needs a bat.
He's
playing horrible.
I don't know if they could stamp a Gucci brand on it. Maybe that'll help him hit a little bit better. Maybe he wants Louis Vuitton. I don't know. But he needs to figure something to get out of the little slump that he's in.
Yes, he certainly does. All right. How much was it? $13,000
For the pair of pants with all the team logos on it. $13,500, Mike. I think you'd look pretty snazzy in those.
Well, I certainly would. But I'm not going to be banishing anything that, what do you call them, man fraud?
Hell yeah, anything Manfred's been had his hand in. But I did see Albert Pujols is now going to be one of his like executive advisors to the MLB. Him and Manfred are going to be working together. I don't know what the relationship's going to be, but I hope maybe old Pujols will be able to knock a little sense into the old man.
All right, my friend. As I mentioned, you're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. And I want to thank our flagship, WTAN 106.1 FM, AM 1340. That's Clearwater St. Pete, Tampa. WZHR FM 104.3 FM, AM 1350, Zephyr Hills. WZHR 102.3 FM, AM. And then 1400 WGRO AM and 1250, Lake City, Gainesville, and WDSR AM 1340. Coming around Chama Bay and up in the Gainesville, Lake City area. And why don't we take a break? I know that Ed is efforting Jim Hart and, of course, Francisco Forrest Lasso. We'll be talking a little Rowdies soccer. We'll be back here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
First quarter is over.
Never show weakness. Only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Rowdies fans, your Tampa Bay Rowdies are back at Al Lang Stadium in downtown St. Petersburg, Saturday, June 10th at 7:30 p.m. Join us for post-game fireworks after the match and get your tickets now by visiting us at rowdiesoccer.com. Come on, you Rowdies!
This is Mike Rickard, and I personally want to welcome our new supporter and partner, my Iowa friend, Barb with Champa Bay. Barb Grossenheider is with First Class Real Estate Gulf to Bay, and Barb brings her Midwest work ethic, her integrity, her commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge as she grew up in a family of home construction success for decades. Barb's energy and her bubbly personality take the stress out of the challenge of home buying in today's difficult market. I assure you, I've recommended her to my friends, and I look forward to spreading her professional service to all of Champa Bay. So reach out today with Barb from Champa Bay. Barb with Champa Bay at gmail.com or give her a call at 813-564-4134. That's Barb with Champa Bay. Give her a call today. 813-564-4134.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. What a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club Rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Champa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays Bucks and Lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Berg Sports Bar and Grill, Champa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Yeah. Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome. Sports Connection. I'm Mike Rickard across from Ben Botham, and we are across from Tropicana Field where 410 it'll be the Rays and the Rangers with a 410 first pitch on a active day down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Right now we're going to shift gears, as I mentioned, and talk a little Tampa Bay Rowdies. Of course, brought to you by our good friends at Coca-Cola Florida and Body Armor. We've got Jim Hart on the line, and we've got Forrest Lasso, and it's time to dive in to a little conversation with soccer. Forrest, thanks for joining us. I know you got a big contest tonight, and I know the enthusiasm right now in the community is at a high. We were talking to Coach last week, and it's got to be a blast for you players when you're on a win streak and the community is, you know, it's vibrant and they're talking Rowdies.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. First, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. But, yeah, it's a good time to be a Rowdies player right now. It's a good time to be a Rowdies supporter. We're starting to click, and you can see the cohesiveness and the chemistry is really starting to gel, and we're making it exciting. We're scoring goals. We're keeping goals out of our net. So, but, you know, you got to keep taking steps forward and keep trying to make it the picture a little bit better, but things are going well.
Forrest, why don't you give our audience, because we just started this segment last week, and I'm looking forward to having them each and every week. Why don't you give the audience, when we have a nice soccer community that follows us, why don't you give the audience a little bio of you, how you got to the Rowdies, where you're from, and how you evolved to get up here playing professionally in the greatest stadium probably in America from a view perspective. Why don't you give our audience a little perspective?
Yeah, so I grew up in Raleigh, North Carolina. I've been playing soccer since I was about 4 years old. Ended up playing college soccer at Wofford College in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Was on track to take the LSAT and go to law school when I had the opportunity to pursue professional soccer. So it kind of came out of nowhere, more or less. I mean, I always had the dream and ambition, but I didn't know the dream would become reality. But signed with the Charleston Battery for 3 years. Made my move to FC Cincinnati, spent some time in MLS with them. Moved to Nashville. Then came down to Tampa in 2020 and spent 2 years with the Rowdies. This previous year, I went overseas and played in Sweden for a year and and now we're back home. But to get to your last point, back home is Outlang for me. I mean, this, you said it yourself, Outlang might be the prettiest soccer venue, if not sports venue, you know, in America. I mean, I'm not just saying that because, you know, it's our home base, but I mean, it is scenic. It's on the water. It's beautiful. The sunrise. I mean, for anyone that's been in St. Pete in Florida, they know the weather's incredible. You got 360 days of sunshine, for crying out loud. So being outside, being with friends, watching good soccer, I mean, you can't beat it.
Not a tough sell. And let's bring Jim Hart into the conversation. I don't know if you've had the pleasure of meeting Jim Hart. I call him the godfather of high school soccer in the Tampa Bay area. And he can obviously talk a lot more intelligently about soccer than I can for us. So that's why I lean heavily on him for my dummy soccer for dummies. And he's kind of leading the way for me. So say hello to Jim Hart.
What's happening, Jim? Nice to virtually meet you.
Hey, Forrest, how's it going?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Super. Forrest, what I'd be super curious to hear you talk about is sort of the intangibles of playing on a Neil Collins team. What is it about? What are some of those intangibles that we see come out on the field? They're hard to, you know, they're beyond tactics. They're beyond fitness. There's something about the Rowdies that they seem to play with a purpose. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, a handful of things. I don't want to speak on the tangibles because you just asked me to not do that. But I mean, Neil,
no,
with
please
his
do.
Playing experience with his playing experience, playing at the top level across the world, obviously playing for the Rowdies himself and playing in the USL. You know, he has a perfect understanding of how the game needs to be played and how to pursue that. So. Obviously, his tactics system, I can't go into too much because, you know, that's top secret stuff, obviously. But from what you see on the sidelines, I mean, he's a passionate, he's loud. When he starts yelling, I mean, no one really knows what he's saying thanks to his accent. But, that, you know, that's what you see from the sidelines. And that is definitely part of who he is as a person and as a coach. And it just shows his love and dedication to the game. But the intangibles that you speak of, I mean, his mentality, his approach, and he has the ability to see it from both the player and coaching side. So he's built some character traits or foundation pieces here at the Rowdies over the past handful of years that, you know, we try to live by, whether it's, you know, togetherness, excitement, attitude, intensity. You know, we have these morals that, you know, we try to live by as people and as players. And if we can do that accurately, I think, you know, the result, everything that you see on the field is the reward from it. But there's a reason I'm back here in Tampa Bay right now, and it's because, you know, I firmly believe playing for Neil is a blessing. He's probably one of the, if not the best coach I've ever played for and been able to play under. So, and, you know, I'm grateful every day to be able to learn from him. And obviously, as a center back, he has more wisdom and knowledge than, you know, I can even fathom.
Yes, he played alongside Harry Maguire there at Sheffield United, didn't he? I mean, that is something. The other thing I wanted to ask you for is you said the many coaches that you played for. How many other coaches laid down sort of a bedrock of foundational principles upon which to build, like those words you mentioned? I know Neil has talked about the five traits of a Rowdies player. Do you see that in every coach, or is that unique to Neil, or how does that go?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely unique to Neil. He's made it his own. But, you know, coaches, everyone has their own approach or their own style, philosophy. I mean, I think that's how you need to get to the top as a professional coach or college coach or whatever it might be. But Neil's approach is obviously unique, one of his own. I'm sure if you talk to him and dove into him, he could tell you maybe who he learned a thing or two from. But from my experience, I mean, from college and professional, I guess, that's 6, 7, 8 coaches maybe. The way Neil handles his business, professionally speaking, but then also personally, I mean, it's really fun to play for him.
That's so cool. How do you all feel about Jake coming back into the team, Jake LaCava?
Oh, I mean, you love it. I mean, you saw what this guy did last year. I think he was a finalist for the Young Player of the Year. I had the opportunity to play against him a handful of times when he was with New York. So, you know, having him back into the system and having the success he had last year under Neil with a handful of guys, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to sharing the field with him. And hopefully he can do what he did last year and score a ton of goals.
That's beautiful. I know many Rowdies fans, myself included, would love to hear sort of a summary of how it went in Sweden. What was it like over there?
Yeah, I mean, it was something, let me tell you. It was a massive learning experience. You know, overall, it was a great experience. I learned a lot. as a footballer, I got to play against different players, different stages, under different lights, and got to see the world through a different lens. And then also it was a huge learning experience for me personally. I grew up in America. I'm a Caucasian, educated, privileged male. So going to the area of the world where, I didn't have maybe the same luxuries or benefits as I had, stateside with all the comforts, that was really eye-opening for me, and it allowed me to maybe expand my view on a lot of things. So, boiling back down, we did not win as many games. We conceded a lot of goals. I think if you look at it from the soccer side, I definitely wish it would have gone differently. But all in all, trying to make the positive out of a crazy year, it was a really good experience. I'm really grateful and thankful to be back here in Tampa Bay. I don't regret any of my decisions. I guess the universe works out in weird ways, but it was a move for me that allowed me to take a step forward, individually and professionally.
You're listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We're having our Coca-Cola Florida and Body Armor Tampa Bay segment. We got Jim Hart. He's the president of the High School Champions League. And we're talking to defender Forrest Lasso in a great conversation. And I'm glad, Forrest, that you mentioned that the players really didn't understand Neil when he gets all excited. My first interview, I was struggling myself, but I got the gist of some of his responses, and now I think I'm accustomed to his accent. But it was a little struggle at first, and I actually recruited him to do a promo for our golf show because of that Scottish accent, and he was actually a scratch golfer. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I know he plays a little bit. We got a handful of guys on the team that I know Neil's actually pretty good. We got a few guys that maybe scratch golfers as well. Maybe a few guys that think they are, but I haven't played with Neil yet. Maybe one of these days.
Well, you need to come down here and bring Neil. We've got two golf simulators at Ferg's, and you need to come down here, and it's on me. We'll put you guys on the golf simulator. I'm guessing that Jim Hart doesn't play golf because he's so involved in every aspect of the great game of soccer. Am I correct, Jim?
Well, I would like to, but I don't. My wife got me a set of golf clubs 20 years ago for a gift. I've maybe used them 5 times.
Well, brush the dust off them. Come down here, meet Neil and meet Forrest, and you guys can hit on the simulator and get your old swing back. How's that?
That sounds great. I love it.
Well, we're also doing something right now, Forrest. I know that, the game of soccer has obviously been propelled by the World Cup this past year. I mean, that's just a given. And in middle 60s, Mark Ferguson and I didn't grow up soccer fans, but we have seen when we had the World Cup down here, we had to open early. We've seen the growth and the enthusiasm. And when you've got people like Jim Hart in the community reaching out to the youth, you've got to see a lot of young people at your Rowdies games, and it's got to be exciting. And the future of soccer, as they predicted a decade or two ago, is so bright. You got to wear shades.
Oh yeah, I mean the growth of the game recently it's been tremendous. I mean, just thinking about where it was when I grew up in Raleigh, North Carolina, back in the early 2000s, starting playing, and my parents were from Mississippi, mom's from Atlanta. My dad and mom barely saw the game growing up. They didn't even know what soccer was. I was the trailblazer for my family in that regard. And, seeing it now in the MLS Next Academies and all the pro academies, and I mean, it's come just miles. So, yeah, I mean, you go to Al Lang, I swear probably about 70% of the people in attendance are little kids, and that just kind of, it just shows you, how special this club and community really is. It takes me back to when I was that little guy showing up to games, hoping to see some pro players, envisioning myself on the field one day. So it's pretty cool seeing all these kids love the game as much as I do because, there's obviously a lot of hype, a lot of spotlight, a lot of shine with basketball and football. It's everything you see. Everyone wants to be the next LeBron James or whatever. But it's pretty cool seeing kids really do love the game and want to pursue it. So I'm excited to see where it is, 5-10 years, because I don't even think it's going to be recognizable, but that's going to be a good thing.
Well, we're blessed now to have Jim involved because we're going to be giving tickets away after these segments to high school kids so they can increase that. But one of the things that I love about you guys, you're so engaging to the fans after the games. Win, lose, or draw, you guys are right there, and that's cool. I mean, that is very cool, isn't it, Jim?
Oh, it absolutely is. And it makes you realize, Mike, that everybody in the game of soccer here is kind of on the same team together promoting the game. and especially Americans promoting the game. So, you know, so that eventually the American team can win the World Cup someday. That's kind of like the underlying goal of everybody who's an American involved in soccer. For us, is that, would that be a good thing to say, do you think?
Oh, it'd be amazing. It'd be amazing. I mean, obviously, this past World Cup, we had a good push, and you could saw the support and the rally from the country and from Americans all across the world. So, yeah, I mean, if we could get a World Cup or, you know, maybe even make it to a final, I mean, I would love to see what that does for the growth of the sport.
There's something to be said, Mike, for being in a bit of an underdog sport. Everybody kind of pulls together, supports one another. Boris, did you play high school soccer?
I did, yes, sir. I played for Needham Broughton High School.
Can you talk for a moment about your high school soccer experience?
Yeah, so Needham Broughton High School in Raleigh, North Carolina, part of the CAP 8 conference, I think it was, in Wake County. My high school was historically really strong, really successful, had top players going to Indiana, all the ACC schools. I mean, they had some really good guys in the triangle. When I came into high school my freshman year, we had a stacked team. I actually made the junior varsity team. With a handful of my other club teammates, played 1 year on JV. Again, I got to throw a little plug and a little humble boast. So we were the only JV team to go 18-0 that year. So that was a pretty special year.
Nice.
But then I spent the next 3 years playing varsity soccer and you know, had great success. Unfortunately, never won a state championship. But it was a 3-year starter with varsity. I don't know how many games that was, but maybe 40, 50 games. But it was a really cool experience, obviously, growing up in Raleigh for 18 years. You know, you kind of held your high school teams on a pedestal, and being able to, you know, wear your high school colors and play in front of your friends and family was a pretty special experience. So,
those
3 years playing with my best friends and playing in front of all your schoolmates and having those intertown or intercity rivalries was pretty unique. And it's kind of sad because I don't think that's really much as big of a game nowadays. I mean, you know, with the academies and with younger players, you know, entering the pro realm earlier, you know, I think high school soccer, unfortunately, has taken a little bit of a hit, and some of the talented players aren't able to play. I guess on the flip side, you know, that allows players who, you know, respectfully are maybe the second grade or, you know, reserve players, that gives them the chance to represent their school. So, you know, there's positives in all of it, but yeah, I think high school, the high school experience has changed drastically from, I don't know, when I graduated in 2011.
Well, you know, go ahead, Mike.
Well, we're getting close to having to wind things down here and take a hard break, and then we're going to switch gears on you, Jim. We're going to talk to Oresti Estrada, and we're going to talk Rays. But Rays and Rowdies, you know, they're joined at the hip these days, so that's kind of a cool relationship. And I'm sure you got to be somewhat of a baseball fan, Forrest. You better be these days, as you guys are married to the success of the Rays.
I mean, of course. I mean, I'm a Rays fan through and through, no doubt.
All right, my man. Well, Jim,
I'll connect up with Forrest and tell him about the Champions League.
Yeah, we'll do that, and let's get you guys down here to Ferg's. You got an open invitation, Forrest. You can tell any of the players, and Jake knows how to get a hold of me. Come on down. I'll buy you guys a bite to eat and a beverage, and maybe you can go up and hit a few balls one of the weeks that you guys are in town and get a chance to relax.
That sounds excellent. I'll have to take you up on that. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for taking time. Good luck tonight. Another W would be great. Even though you had a tie last week, you haven't had a loss since May 1st, and you guys are on a roll just like the Rays are.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right.
Good luck tonight,
Jim Hart. Thanks for carrying that segment with me, Mr. Hart. And then next week we'll start with our Coca-Cola Florida and Body Armor. We'll be getting the high school coaches on and giving them away tickets to the Rowdies, and look forward to that as well.
Yes, we've got Eric Sims, Jesuit High School Champions League coach, next week.
And I actually have the Jesuit Athletic Director, Pete Young, on in my first segment of the second hour. So. You have a great Saturday, and we're going to take a break. We'll be back. Talk a little baseball with Oresti Estrada and Ben Botham.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. The only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Rowdies fans, your Tampa Bay Rowdies are back at Al Lang Stadium in downtown St. Petersburg, Saturday, June 10th at 7:30 p.m. Join us for post-game fireworks after the match and get your tickets now by visiting us at rowdiesoccer.com. Come on, you Rowdies!
This is Mike Rickard, and I personally want to welcome our new supporter and partner, my Iowa friend, Barb with Champa Bay. Barb Grossenheider is with First Class Real Estate, Gulf to Bay, and Barb brings her Midwest work ethic, her integrity, her commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge as she grew up in a family of home construction success for decades. Barb's energy and her bubbly personality take the stress out of the challenge of home buying in today's difficult market. I assure you, I've recommended her to my friends, and I look forward to spreading her professional service to all of Champa Bay. So reach out today with Barb from Champa Bay, barbwithchampabay@gmail.com, or give her a call at 813-564-4134. That's Barb with Champa Bay. Give her a call today, 813-564-4134.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. What a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club Rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Berg's Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game-watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Berg's Sports Bar and Grill.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network. Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the clubhouse studios inside Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Right across from Tropicana Field at Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill, our clubhouse studios. We are about a driver and a pitching wedge for my golf guys to the front row of Trop. And, of course, today at 4:10, there is a little battle of the West Division versus the East. And, of course, it's our beloved Tampa Bay Rays and the Texas Rangers. And the man that knows all about them, been kind enough to come on quite often, the big old Aresti Estrada. What's happening, my man?
Hey, Mikey, how you doing, man? I'm doing well, and thank you for having me on, and I hope you're doing well yourself, and what an exciting season it's been so far for not only the Rays, but all of baseball. A lot of offense. I will definitely say that. There's been some flexing of the muscles, and that we can talk a little bit about that and my thoughts on what I think has happened.
Well, it's great times because of your relationship with the Marlin organization. They're having a nice season.
Miami. How about that?
Yeah, how about that? And then of course your relationship with the Rays. So all is good in the big old world right now.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, I was fortunate enough to throw out the first pitch, the second game of the season against the Mets over at Lone Park Depot, Lone Depot Park, I guess it is to be exactly correct. I still want to call it Joe Robbie Stadium, which is not even there, but. That's where I cut my teeth at as a Florida Marlin, but it was really a neat event. They were commemorating 30 years of the first pitch, you know, that was thrown by Charlie Huff, and actually the first pitch was thrown by the late but great Joe DiMaggio in that game, and 1993 April 5th. So it was really an honor to myself, who will there, Alex Arias, Mr. Marlin, Jeff Conine, and Luis Aquino were there on hand, and I threw out that first pitch of that second game against the Mets, and I got to see firsthand a very exciting young Marlins team that I'm not really surprised that they're doing what they're doing. I really think that I was impressed with what they have, especially with the young pitching, and they're doing all of that, Mike, by the way, without, you know, the reigning Cy Young award winner in Sandy Alcantara. You know, he's having, you know, a kind of a post-Cy Young, a lot of them do have it, you know, kind of jinx year. These, I think, only 2-5 with a 5 ERA. So they're doing it other ways, and they sure do have a lot of young, exciting offensive talent to watch over there.
Do you think that the pitch clock might be out in effect?
Hey, hello to baseball Ben Botham. He's my baseball expert here. I don't fumble, stumble, and bumble, my man.
Yeah, I've been noticing.
Good to have those.
Kind of been affecting a lot of the bigger guys. Do you think that could be a reason why he wasn't doing so well this year?
Possibly. You know, the pitch clock is something that I think I was, obviously everybody's been really keying on to see how it was going to play out. It played out positively and properly in spring training. There wasn't really a heck of a lot of hiccups. I think MLB did a great job of instituting this for a couple of seasons in the minor leagues to kind of, you know, test it out. And then you put it into the major leagues. And the players, both hitters and pitchers, because honestly, not only do the pitchers, the only thing I'm worried for the pitchers is maybe injury potential because of the fact that they're not getting that extra, you know, believe it or not, an extra, you know, 8 to 10 seconds that you can kind of step back off the mound a little bit or take your time. Your cadence goes different. So the muscle memory and the strike that goes on a pitcher's arm, predominantly the elbow, you know, is dramatic. So that extra time, believe it or not, I think over a period of a season, a long season, because, you know, our baseball season is a marathon, plays a lot of havoc. And now all of a sudden they're having to speed that up. So you have that. But then as a hitter, I'm watching the guys, you know, have to set up quicker. So I think that's advantage pitcher. Because anytime a pitcher, and I think in fact, it's interesting because Mike Maddux is the pitching coach for the Texas Rangers. Bruce Bochy says his Rangers, and the greatest at that was his brother, one of the greatest pitchers of all time, and Greg Maddux, who worked you so quick. He tried to work you quick because he had so many different type pitches. He controlled 4 to 5 really, you know, plus pitches, fastball, curveball, sinker, slider, change. He'll even split every now and then. And as a hitter, I would try to actually step out of him because I couldn't think that quick, and I was thinking, okay, here comes a fastball, and then he rarely double up. And so you were like seeing different angles, different, you know, different velocity, different locations. And I think for a hitter, that has to be a little harder. So there's efforts here on both sides that we're seeing, you know, a change of modality. But the plus of all those is that the game has been going quicker. I love the fact that the defense now has to kind of stay a little put a little more. We're seeing more acrobatic plays. It's just a much more offensive game, exciting game, running game. The advent of the throw over, I think, is huge. And it's just a bit of a more exciting game, I think.
Well, I think the adding the bigger bases has also helped definitely steal. And, you know, the distance between the bags is shorter now, where a lot of guys were getting tagged out by a step, maybe a hand length, and now that distance has been shortened. It's been taken away. So I think that's definitely helped with the stolen bases so far this year.
I think it has. And you're seeing the Rosarenas and the Acuñas, taking advantage of that. They were already incredible, you know, world-class athletes as far as speed. But there's no doubt that there's more stealing. Now, as far as the power, and we need to touch on this because it's interesting. My thought on this, guys, is that whenever MLB adds something as dramatic, and it's been a long time since they've added something this dramatic in the change of rules and change of the, you know, glorified, you know, blasphemy of changing baseball too much and the time scenario and the kickoff and and staying in one side. These are all dramatic baseball kind of changes. I think they might have tightened the ball a little bit. This is my thinking, and I think we saw that back in 2019. There was a tick up, and there was questions if the ball is a little tighter and jumping off the bat. And I think there's been periods of times over the last 20-plus years where you've seen different seasons where, holy cow, because there is just an immense amount of flicking home runs, as I call it. I was a home run hitter. And every now and then, yeah, I was strong enough that I could flick a home run opposite field or something. We're just seeing kids just flick home runs off over the walls or hitting monster shots. And the Rays are one team that are definitely taking advantage of that. Because now here's my thought on it: the three-pronged scenario with why the Rays are so offensively. The reason they're winning so many games is because of great pitching. We've already known that for the last several years. What Kyle Snyder has done, and a former catcher manager, great manager, and Kevin Cash, it's just been coming and coming and ticking up, you know, regularly. The offense has been a kind of more of a roller coaster at times, right? I mean, it's there, but it's not there. You know, they trade away some talent, you know, but lately, what you've seen has been a team that has just crushed the ball. And I think it's for three reasons. Number one, they're very, very talented. These are talented hitters. Number two, you have a very talented hitting coach that's kind of not given as much credit as he should in Chad Mottola. Okay, so Chad is a great hitting coach. Number three, my aforementioned, I think the balls are a little tighter and they're just wound tighter and they're jumping off the bat. So that's an even across the league thing. Here's the controversial thing I'm going to throw out there. How many games did the Rays have at home at Tropicana Field in spring training?
All of them. Well, except for three or four.
And this is not their fault. This is the fault of Hurricane Ian that came in and created a situation where they weren't able to participate spring training in Port Charles, correct?
Oh, yeah.
So what happened? You had a handful of games in Orlando, but the majority of your games were at your home field. A home field that, by the way, is a very tricky home field. And for these younger hitters to have a few extra games under that weird kind of lighting with the LED, and a lot of players think of the great El Nino, Willie Adames, and a handful of others that had trouble there at home. So you have that, but also just the confines of, I was on with Rob Dibble recently, and I talked to him about this, and he goes, man, you're right, man. If I could have had spring training at home when I was with the Reds all the time, and got used to that mound, got used to all the things, you know, there is a paradigm shift of an advantage. Now, this is just going to be a one-off, but it's interesting that all of a sudden, you know, so it's something that you have to think about it. Would you not agree that could be possibly an advantage, along with the fact that they're extremely talented and have world-class, one of the top five pitching staffs in all of baseball?
I had not thought about that, but that's obviously why we have the great Oresti on from time to time to give us perspective of someone who's been there and done that. On that note, I want to ask you, how your life has changed. I mean, and you know, for how many years, every game you're in the mix. How are you keeping busy these days and having a little family free time?
Well, it's been wonderful, man. In fact, I just got back from, I call it kind of a very fortunate and enjoyable kind of semi-retirement type scenario, but only for a short period of time. There's a lot of things already kind of in the horizon or going on. I get to watch a lot of baseball just without having to, you know, just enjoy it and get to see it. But I just came back. We just were in the coast of Maine. We just missed, thank goodness, all this madness with coming down from Canada, right? So they had all that wildfire. That kind of worked its way down to unfortunately into the United States and New York and Boston. But we were there the week or so before, and it was glorious, gentlemen.
Where were we at?
All the way up to Acadia. I don't know if you've been up to Acadia, which is up in Maine, which is Bar Harbor, or as they say it, Bahaba. And we were in Camden. We were in Algonquin. My wife's sister lives with her baby and her husband in Boston. So we flew in and out of Boston and got to see that side of the family, including the grandma. My kids got to see her mother and who doesn't live there. She actually is from Hawaii but was visiting. So we planned it all perfectly and purposefully, and had a week-long wonderful time up and down that coast. It's just majestic. I hadn't done it in a long, long time. And
I wish I had known that. My good friend Fred Forsley, he owns Sea Dogs Brewery, and he's up and down the entire coast of Maine. He would have loved to have you come in and
visit. We hit a lot of different cool pubs and grills, and just one of my favorite vacations I've had, and I don't know, in decades. So it was wonderful, and so that's the type of thing that normally, I'm in season, and I have been on and off between playing and broadcasting for 20 plus years. I haven't had a chance to do something like that in maybe ever. It's always been more of a winter thing that we'll take a little trip somewhere. But obviously, you're not going to the coast of Maine in November and December and January because it's frozen over. So this was really special, and we got a couple other trips planned this summer that we're looking to take. But I am still doing a podcast for MLBPAA and heading over to Japan coming up next month. I've signed a deal to be kind of an ambassador of my old team over there, the Seibu Lions, right outside of Tokyo. And so it's kind of pretty neat, and a few other tricks up my sleeve that are coming down the pike. But speaking of Japan, you see what Shohei Ohtani did again last night?
Oh my God! The guy's amazing. Well, Rusty,
he's unbelievable.
I appreciate you taking time to join us. We're up against a hard break, but.
Man, it's good to see you guys.
I told you. You need to get down here, and we want to have a long drive contest between.
I got to check that out. I got to check that driver thing you guys have.
Yep, I'm going to get you down here, buy you some beverages and a bite, and then you and Toby Hall will go head to head in the long drive contest.
That'll be a lot of fun. And as long as Mark. Ferguson bets on me from Birds. You better be betting on me. That's all I got to say.
Hey, just like the Belmont Stakes this week. Our money's on the big O. All right, brother.
All right, man. Keep rocking.
Have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us. Thanks. Rusty Estrada, he just does a superb job. He did a superb job all these years. You grew up with him being on the television side of things, and gives us a lot of unique insight. And some perspective. I didn't think about that, playing at the drop that entire spring training.
Yeah, playing at your own ballpark. I mean, that's something I never thought of, but I mean, it's definitely a factor. I mean, we got a white ceiling and catching white balls, that definitely helps.
We got to add, I wanted to ask him his opinion on whether we need to go out and get ourselves a closer. And I think the answer is yes, and it would have been yes.
I was right there with you.
Yep. We're up against it. We'll be back. For hour number two on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.